On this Resurrection Sunday, which we call Easter, I want to share with you the story of the resurrection and some of the lessons we can learn from this event that is considered the greatest event of all history. And so really, it should be on our newscast. It should be national news that we are celebrating a day that was the greatest day in all of history. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the focal point of our faith. And it's important that we remember this beautiful and powerful story. There's so many lessons here besides the obvious that Jesus is the Son of God, that Jesus proved that he was the Son of God and that he rose from the grave. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin for us. But there's a lot more that we can learn from this story of the resurrection. Starting to read this story, we see that the disciples themselves were not even expecting Christ to rise from the dead. Kind of makes you wonder, how could they miss that? But they did. And we see the same was true for the women that were close to Jesus. They were coming to the tomb that morning with more burial spices to further preserve the body. They were not expecting Christ to rise from the dead. They didn't believe that Jesus was going to rise from the dead, even though Jesus had told them so before that time. They were looking for Jesus to be still in the tomb that resurrection morning when he had already been risen. And even the angels, we see that the angels rebuked the women and saying, why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? And it's rather interesting as you look at all the emotions and the thoughts that the women had and the disciples displayed in the story. There's a lot of things that weren't faith. There was unbelief. There was doubt. There was puzzlement. There was fear. The truth seemed like nonsense. Imagine the women were coming and telling the men what was taking place, and the men said, nonsense. Probably some of you are here and thinking, that's what my husband usually says when I come home and tell him a story, but they need to see it for themselves. But they didn't clue in that Jesus really rose from the dead. And when Jesus appears to them alive, it's interesting. It says they still doubted. Imagine Jesus appears before them and they're still doubting. They can't believe what they're really seeing. And it actually says they thought he was a ghost. And Jesus had to speak peace over them and to calm their fears. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus said, go ahead and touch me. Go ahead. Look, here's my hands. Here's my feet. You can see the nail prints that are in my hands and in my feet. And still, they were in such shock, they still couldn't believe. And then we see finally Jesus has a meal with them, and he explains the scriptures to them even more, referring back to the writings of Moses, referring back to the writings of the prophets. Finally, they believe that Jesus really did rise from the grave and that he really was there in their midst. Now, we would probably want to point our fingers at this point and say, well, how foolish, how faithless they must have been. But often we respond in the very same way, with many a doubt, many a wonder in our journeys of faith and wondering, is God really real out there? And we go through those times ourselves. And like the disciples and the other followers of Christ that day, we need reminders too. We need encounters with Christ to help us to continue in that journey of faith. And that's something that we can be asking for. That's what Easter is to us. It's a reminder. Hey, your faith is real. It's a reminder. It's telling our world, hey, Jesus really did rise from the grave. You need to remember that's crucial to your faith. So the resurrection was a huge boost to the disciples' faith that day. And it should be a huge boost to our faith today, especially as we're celebrating this day this morning. Resurrection Sunday. I kind of like that name over Easter. Doesn't really matter, but I like it because it reminds us and encourages us that our faith is real today. There's a true faith that you have. No one has done what Jesus has done. Nobody. He stands alone. There's no one that can compare to Jesus. Lots of people try to do that today. But there's only one Savior. There's only one Lord. There's only one that has risen from the grave and ascended into the heavens. So today I want to remind you of some things of this resurrection story that will encourage you in your faith, and maybe some things that you don't normally think about as we come to this time of Resurrection Sunday. Now the first one, this is the part we all remember. You need to remember your God's alive. Remember that fact. Your God is alive. You don't serve a dead God. You serve a God who is alive. Luke 24, 5 to 6, and we're just going to stay right here Luke chapter 24. Says, the women were terrified. They bowed with their faces to the ground, and the men asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive? He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. We need to remember. We need days like this to remind ourselves that, yes, our faith is real. It really is. It's a truth that we must never forget. You don't serve a dead God. The grave marker does not mark where he lay, like so many other gods. It's an empty tomb. Many of you have been with me, and we've been there. We literally went to the spot, and yes, when you look in, there's no body there. It's an empty tomb. Praise his name. It's a truth we need to remember. All the other gods, religious leaders, and prophets that are worshipped today in our society, none of them did that. None of them did that. See, Jesus stands alone in what he has done. Jesus rose from the grave triumphantly, and his only grave marker is an empty tomb. So don't be looking among dead gods or their graves or some other religion to believe in when there's a God, Jesus Christ, who proved who he was by rising from the dead. We serve a risen Savior, and we need to be reminded of that because sometimes we act as if God's dead. Man, we don't believe for things. We're not expecting things. It's almost like we're thinking God's dead, but he's not dead. God's very much alive. It's not just a story. It's not a fairy tale. It's a story that was told by many, many people, many, many eyewitnesses, hundreds of eyewitnesses to this. We see that this story on that resurrection morning was already beginning to spread. It tells us that there was two followers of Christ, and they were on the Emmaus Road, and they were leaving Jerusalem, and already they had heard that Christ had risen, that there's an empty tomb, but they didn't quite realize the significance of it all at that time. And we see their story in Luke 24, 22, 24, it says, some women from our group of his followers were at the tomb early this morning. And they came back with this amazing report, they said. They said his body was missing. And they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. And some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women had said. It's a true story. It's a true story. It's history. It has been verified by hundreds and hundreds of people that very day. And it's been verified by billions of people throughout the ages that have experienced Christ into their life and that continue to experience Christ to this very day. The Resurrection Sunday should cause us to remember we serve a God who's alive. We serve a God who's alive. Jesus Christ is risen. We serve a risen Savior. He's alive. He's alive. Then secondly, this Resurrection Sunday should remind us to remember that God keeps his promises. God's promises, the Bible says, are yes and amen. They will really, really happen. They will happen just as he said. Luke 24, 6 to 8. The angel saying, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, that he would rise again on the third day. That was a promise. That was a promise. Jesus said that. This will take place. This will happen. He said that many times to his disciples, but they didn't catch it. They didn't understand. But he promised that it would take place, and Jesus fulfilled the promise by rising from the dead. You know, and sometimes we continue to struggle with our belief. We struggle with our faith. But friends, if we would just get into the Word of God and understand what the Scriptures say, because this was all written. Jesus had to explain to him. He went right back to the writings of Moses, the very beginning of our Bible. Then as you get into the prophets, the writings of the prophets, and Jesus started going through all these verses that are in our Bibles to say, look, it's all right here in black and white for you to see. And friends, our faith would be so increased if we would take the time to read our Bibles. We really need to do that. In our society today, we're finding that more and more people are not reading their Bibles. And that's talking about the Christians, not the world, but as Christians. We need to read the Word of God. We read. We need to know the story so that our faith can be strong, so that we can be ready for those things that God has promised. Because the Scriptures are full of the promises of God. And what He says, He will do. And friend, no other prophet, no other teacher, no other God, no other religious leader has made a promise like our Christ has promised and came through. But Jesus did. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was predicted and prophesied throughout Scripture. It really shouldn't have been a surprise to his followers, but it was. Luke 24, 25, 27, and Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the Scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" And then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. It was all recorded. Hundreds and hundreds of years before it even happened. And it was already recorded. And as Jesus rose from the dead, he proved that he keeps his promises. God keeps his promises. And friends, I want to tell you today, God still keeps his promises. What he spoke in the Word of God still happened today. And if he says something's going to take place, then it will take place. And what he's promised to you, and what where you felt God speak into your heart and life, and he's made a promise to you today, I'm here to remind you today that God keeps his promises. They will happen, even though they may have been delayed. They will happen. They will take place. The resurrection should remind us of this simple and yet powerful truth. God keeps his promises. What he says he will do, he will indeed do it. Then thirdly, the resurrection of Jesus Christ should cause us to remember that this message needs to be shared. We're to go out and to tell others about what happened that day. See, it's our responsibility as Christians to get into this world and this nation of Canada and tell our fellow Canadians that this is the most important day in history, that Jesus Christ has been risen from the dead. Jesus Christ proved that he is the only Savior of all the world, because only he did what he did, no one else has done. Death and resurrection are events that make Christianity superior to all other religions. And whether that fits in with your political views or not, that's what the Scriptures tell us. That's what the Scriptures tell us. He's superior to all other religions. And it did happen, and we need to share it. Listen as the angel spoke to the women and told them they need to go out and tell. And so they rushed back, Luke 24, 9, 10, they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples, and everyone else what had happened. And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. It started with the women. Thank God for our women. Do you realize that the message of the gospel was first preached by women? It actually was. They went out and told. They went out to tell the disciples. They went out to tell the others that, hey, we all missed it. We missed it. We didn't realize that this Jesus really was going to rise from the dead. And he did. He did. And really what we see here is the Great Commission telling us all that when we recognize the story, that this is true, we need to go and tell the story. Tell the story. When we have a day that's still set aside in this nation of Canada, we better tell the story, because too many people are forgetting the story. This great commission was emphasized in the resurrection. Let's tell us we have a message. Don't keep what Christ has done a secret. Don't be listening to what the world tells you to say. Keep your faith in your own little box. Don't try to interfere with anybody else. No, the Bible says you need to go out and tell. Tell others. Tell the world about it. The resurrection is a big event for us as Christians. It proves our faith is real. And we need to tell others the same thing, that Jesus is the truth, the life, and the way. No one comes to the Father except through him. So this was the Great Commission being emphasized here in the resurrection. We need to go out and tell others. We need to go out and tell. And it's interesting that just in case they didn't get the message from the angels strong enough that they go out and to share the story, Jesus, seeing obviously from their own lack of faith, says again, Luke 24:47. He says, it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. The gospel message is to be declared about the resurrection, that Jesus Christ is that way, and that through Jesus there is forgiveness of sins for those who repent. So we have this job to do, to go out into all the world and tell people that our God is real, that he's alive, that he's the God who has conquered the grave. He's the God that went to the cross and paid our debt of sin, which was death. The Easter weekend, it's all about that. The gospel message is right there in our Easter weekend. Tell people, because God desires all nations. God desires all people to come to salvation. So this resurrection story reminds us that we have a story to tell, a story to share, a commission to obey, to go out and tell. Number four, the resurrection of Jesus Christ should cause us to remember that Jesus encounters people. From the women at the tomb to the disciples behind closed doors to people traveling on a road, our God is very much alive, and our God is a God who encounters people. Listen to some of those verses of those encounters. Luke 24:15-16. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. Then in verse 36, and just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. The resurrection should remind us that we serve a real God, and he's a God of real encounters. And many times, you know, we're unaware that God is actually with us. There are times where God will reveal himself or be with us, and God kind of keeps us from recognizing him, but he's with us. But he gives us some signs that we might recognize that he is with us here. And we see this in this passage of scripture. We see a peace. When you sense a peace that just seems to come out of the blue and you don't understand, like, where'd that come from? I just feel a peace. That's God giving you a little sign. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here with you. And then it talks here about their hearts burning inside. And we say, well, why is my heart burning? Why is there something inside of me that just seems to be burning today? I don't understand it. And maybe it's causing you to weep and maybe causing you to cry. Well, that's the Lord trying to say, I'm here. I'm here in your midst. I'm here. And he'll do those things at times to let us realize that he's alive. We serve a real God, and he encounters us. Luke 24:32 says, didn't our hearts burn within us as we talked with us, as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us? Friends, I want to tell you that Jesus still walks and he talks with us. Along our life's journey, He will still come and minister to us. He will still come and give those times where we just sense the presence of God, or we sense the peace of God, or we sense that burning inside of us. And we find ourselves beginning to weep and cry because the Spirit is recognizing that you're in His presence. Sometimes the head doesn't recognize, but the Spirit does. And those tears begin to flow because they're coming from the inside with the Spirit of God inside of us and recognizing that God is with us. The resurrection should remind us that we serve a God who encounters His people. Still alive, still encountering people today. Number five on what the resurrection of Jesus Christ should cause us to remember is that God forgives sin. God forgives our transgressions. And again, that's part of the message of the resurrection that we're supposed to tell and share. Luke 24, 47. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of His name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. The resurrection proved that Jesus was who He said He was, that He was God and that He had the power to forgive us of our sins. You may remember as you read the story of Jesus where the Pharisees got very upset with Him. The religious leaders got very upset with Jesus because He was forgiving sins. And they said to Him, only God can forgive sins. Well, Jesus went and proved that to them as well. I'll prove it to you. For I'm the one, the God that has power over life and over death. And so because He has that power, then He also has that power to forgive us of our sins. So no matter what we've done, whether we've been big sinners or small sinners, we're all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short. There's none of us who are perfect individuals here. We all have done our mistakes. But God says, I am the God who forgives sin. Jesus paid for your sin. He nailed it to the cross. All your sins nailed to the cross. He fulfilled the justice of God and He rose from the grave, proving He had the power. And as we repent of our sins, the Bible says He will forgive us of our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins. Sometimes we like to categorize sin, but sin is sin. And sin separates us all from God. But sometimes we like to say there's certain sins that are more serious than other sins. And sometimes we think, well, God can't forgive me because I did something that you may consider as a very terrible, terrible thing. God says, I forgive all sin. I forgive all sin. No matter how bad it was or how small it was, God forgives all our sins. There's pardon for you. There's a cancellation of your debt. There's a ceasing of resentment against us for what we have done to God because He forgives. That's a message of the resurrection. He forgives our sins. That needs to get out there. We need to tell others about that. The resurrection should remind us that we serve a God who forgives. And then lastly, as we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, it should cause us to remember how important it is to worship God. He is worthy of our worship and He is deserving of our worship. Thank you for coming to the house of God today. That's important to God. To God. Do you realize that just being here today, that you honor Him, and by your being here today, you're bringing worship to Him? Just the fact that you're here. As the disciples and the other followers of Christ got more and more understanding of all that took place with the resurrection, it says they were filled with worship and joy and praise. And that's what it should do for us too. Look at verses 52, 53. It says, so they worshiped Him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all their time in the temple praising God. Finally, the followers of Christ understood that Jesus was who He said He was. That it really did happen. That He really is God. That their sins have been forgiven. The price has been paid. He ascends into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority and power. That's our God. That's our God. And so they began to worship Him. They began to praise Him. Not just in that moment, you'll notice it says, and they continued to gather together in the temple taking that time to praise him. Matter of fact, says they spend all their time there. I want to tell you something. Coming to church is an important thing. We got a lot of people, a lot of Christians in our society today that say church attendance isn't very important. Doesn't matter. You're the church, and so you can just be that at home. Well, if you're at home, then you're not the church, because the church is a group of people. And we need to come together as the people of God. And we need to come just like these disciples did. And they went to that temple, and they just began to praise and worship him. It's needed. We need to do that. It's what strengthens us. It's what helps us as we come together. Friends, we need to be reminded today, our faith is real. Salvation is real. He died for our sins. He rose again. He conquered the grave, giving us the hope of eternal life, the hope of having our sins forgiven and being restored with God. That should cause us to worship. Should cause us to realize that God is worthy of all of our time, all of our efforts, even coming to church on this day. The Bible says, let us not fall asleep in these last days. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, because we have much to give thanks to God for. We have much to praise him for. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. And he deserves that today.